The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Isaiah 29, verses 13 through 19. The Lord said, "Because these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is a human commandment learned by rote, so I will again do amazing things with this people, shocking and amazing. The wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the discernment of the discerning shall be hidden. Ha, you who hide a plan too deep for the Lord, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? Shall the thing made say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of the one who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Shall not Lebanon in a very little while become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be regarded as a forest? On that day the deaf shall hear the words of a scroll, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the neediest people shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." The New Testament reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who was wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." This is the word of the Lord.
So, this is one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. I just find it very, very powerful. Probably timeless as well. It impacts the way we look at the world as much today as it did then, back then. We may not see that right away, but I can assure you that this scripture points out the ultimate difference between Jesus Christ and this world. I ran into it in a way when I was in university. I was in first year university, and that's around the time when I decided to become a Christian. Well, decided. God hit me over the head was more the reality, because truly I was least likely to be a Christian back then. And there was a girl that I hung out with. She was a very, very, very bright, pretty, articulate girl that I had known through high school. And we had that false bravado together that only youth can give, where we would hang out together and mock everything and be cynical. And if you've ever been young, you might know what that's like. And you sure get older and realize you didn't have a clue what you were talking about 90% of the time. But we had this friendship, and if I'm probably honest, I probably had a crush on her, but I was never the one that could ever do that, be that guy. And I remember we were sitting and we would talk for hours, and I finally said, "You know, I think something's happening to me. I've been reading about this Jesus guy, and he's so awesome." I said, "You know what, I'm starting to believe in him." And there was silence on the other end of the phone. And he said, "Well, that's unusual." And she stopped and she goes, "Are you serious?" in that snarky voice. And I said, "Absolutely. Have you read anything?" "I don't need to read anything. That religion's for weak, people who need a crutch and little old ladies. My response, she didn't appreciate it. I said, I've seen a lot of little old men with crutches too, but she didn't laugh. But the point was serious, that I, if I chose to go this way, was going to lose a friend. That whatever I was seeing, she wasn't. Well, guess what happened? I don't know whatever happened to her. Because as I chose to go down that path, I was now part of the weak, crutch-bearing old ladies. I had to choose to go this way. But when you get hit by God, you've got to go that way. How little did I know back then? And I felt bad and I felt shame, to be honest, that I had embraced this clearly mockable faith. How ultimately saving that decision was going to be in more ways than I could ever imagine. Let's pray. Living God revealed in Jesus Christ, known as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please come and open our eyes. Help us to see what this text says today for us. Help us to understand and to listen and have our eyes open and our ears unplugged so that we might live as a different people even this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we can get into this text, we must remember that this was the worldview. And I know it's hard to see, and you'll have to forgive me, but it's the best slide I could find of the Roman social structure. And the Roman social structure was pyramid-based. And on the top, of course, were the patricians. These were the fathers of the world. These were the big names, and then underneath them were the senators. So the patricians would include the Caesar. The senators were next. And if you remember, Corinth doesn't have either because it was destroyed 100 years before. So those big names had been wiped out. So all they have now is new money. And the new money is the equestrians. These are people who have made money, but they don't have any name recognition. So they are all there and they all want to be known within this world to be the best. So the way they would climb the pyramid, as you may remember, is they would hire what were called sophists. It comes from the Greek word of wisdom, Sophia. And sophists were the philosophical people of that age. And they would invite them into their town and they would invite you to come and watch, okay, in their homes. And then you would bring in, say, Seneca. And he would come in with a great oration. And then the guy down the street said, hold on now, that family's a little bit more ahead of our family. So he would invite in somebody else, do you see? And they would try and outdo one another. The philosophers were famous. They might be like the comedians today in the sense of who's your favorite comedian? It was who was your favorite philosopher. And the person who had enough money to bring them in was then seen as the top of the pyramid. The reason that's important to know is Paul has already shown us that this early church has adapted that culture into the church. So if you remember two weeks ago, we had the church saying, I'm a Paul man, I'm a Cephas man, I'm an Apollos man. Even some that are putting Jesus in the role of the sophist. I'm a Jesus man. And what Paul says is, you're a bunch of morons. I'm sorry, he's going to do that a lot. Forgive me. He says, what are you talking about? We are not bringing in wisdom. We're not bringing in amazing language and human ideas. We're bringing in the gospel. And if we are sophists, he says, then the power of the cross has been lost. That's what came just before our scriptures today. So that's the world he's in, and he's writing from Ephesus, and let me remind you again, he's hot. He's had enough. This is not a church you'd want to pastor. Seriously. So he begins, for the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. He flips it on its head. In that culture, it's the sophists that are rising. But right away, Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The ones who are perishing always in Paul's theology are those who are rising in the culture. And the cross is juxtaposed to that. But to us who are, and now I want you to notice this, but to us all who are being saved. You notice how he uses that? Other times he'll say we are saved. But in this case, he makes particular use of saying we are in a process of salvation. In other words, we haven't arrived largely because the Corinthians think they have. For those of us being saved, it is the power of God. Now, I love this word, power. Comes the word dunamis. Okay? And I love it because it's the foundation of our word dynamite. It's the dynamite of God to explode the things of this age. But to us who are being saved, this message of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He's quoting Isaiah directly here. And the discernment of the discerning, I will obliterate. Now, when he quotes a text like that, I'm going to give you a little tip if you're studying at home. Whenever you see him say, as it is written, and then he gives you that little bit, what he wants you to do is remember the rest of that story, which we had today. And that whole story in Isaiah is what he's saying is, I'm going to quote this little piece, but you're just like the Isaiah community. Okay? So it's important that we go back to Isaiah. And by the way, have I convinced anyone yet that we need the Old Testament? Amen? Sorry, Andy. The Lord said because, and this is from Isaiah. Listen to these words. The Lord said, because these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, well, their hearts are far from me. And their worship is of me is a human commandment learned by rote. This is the section he's quoting. He's not talking to an irreligious people, is he? He's speaking to a very religious people. And he's saying that you, like them, are worshiping with your words, but not your heart, because you're going for the wisdom of this age. Just like Israel did then when they were trying to be more Egyptian. And then, of course, there's the second part. So I will again do amazing things with this people to show them who's truly in power. Shocking and amazing. The wisdom of their wise shall perish. Do you see that? And the discernment of the discerning shall be hidden. In other words, those who think they've got it figured out, I'm going to do something so amazing they won't know what to say. I'm going to shut their mouths. Good thing we don't have intellectuals that like to tell us how to live in our culture, right? It's a good thing we don't have celebrities who tell us what to think, right? Good thing we don't have those people who tell us all the time what's right and wrong. Those sophists of today. Where is the one who is wise, Paul says? Where is the scribe? Now he goes to his Jewish background. I find this funny. The one who is wise, the sophist, but then he goes to the scribe. That's a Jewish thing. In other words, Jews are just as susceptible to trying to be the peak of the ladder by the use of Torah. Remember, this was the Jew of Jews talking here. Where is this scribe? Where is this debater of the age? These guys would come into your house and be debaters, and they were wise, and they were sophisticated, and they had these great new ideas. Where are they? He says. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? So the world has this way of looking, and he says, has not, through what happened here, destroyed the so-called wisdom of the world. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God. So when they when these sophists were working in all their wisdom, they could never find God. Explain in a second where he goes to that. They couldn't find him. He was hiding. He was incognito to them when they were using their wisdom. God, through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation. What is this proclamation? The cross. A crucified Messiah. To save those who believe. Not those who get it. Do you notice that? It's not the people who have the special gnosis, the special knowledge, the special spiritual gifts. Not even the ones with the right theological nuances. But for those who believe. And then he goes back, for Jews demand signs. They believed the Messiah was going to come still with military might. They were waiting for the signs of God, like at the Exodus, where it would show that he would wipe out the Gentiles. That's what they wanted from God. The Greeks desire wisdom. They felt that was their way to heaven. Their actual belief system was, if you gained enough wisdom, you could float off the earth and be with the gods. That was their goal. That was their end goal, was this vehicle of wisdom, unlike power signs. But we proclaim Christ crucified. And that doesn't make sense in either case. A stumbling block for the Jews because they didn't expect their Messiah to die to the Romans. He was supposed to wipe them out. And foolishness to the Greeks. In other words, the proclamation of Christianity should be seen by the world as foolishness. In fact, you should be surprised and question your preaching if it isn't. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the dunamis of God and the Sophia of God, the wisdom of God. But for those who are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness, and here he plays rhetoric, doesn't he? For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. So he's flipping it on its head, isn't he? In a world like this is a world like today. The wisdom of the world hasn't changed. The wisdom of the world back then simply said that the gods were the mightiest and we had to give up everything we could to placate them so that we could have a better life. That's all it was, paganism. It didn't matter whether it was Mars, Apollos, any of these others. All they wanted, Aphrodite, was they were the powerful ones and you had to climb the mountain to get there. And the Jewish God in the first century, second temple period was distant and foreign. And you had to be a good enough person or he ignored you. Or worse, cursed you. That was the world they grew up in. And if you were a nobody, then you had no chance. You know, there was no welfare back then. You know that? If you couldn't make it work, too bad for you. If a pandemic hit and you couldn't afford to live in the country on one of your estates, too bad for you. They didn't care. Because the people who were rich obviously looked like gods. The gods liked them, and the people who were poor are obviously cursed. We live in the exact same world today. The pyramid is still there. It's just, what does it mean to be on the top has changed. Anybody watch Captain Kirk go up in outer space? In again, a odd looking spaceship. billionaires and trillionaires playing games with ships. Who do you think runs this place? You ever wondered in American politics that it's always the same names that are in power? That maybe there might be a bit of a scam going on? See, the truth is power doesn't change. And your goal in this culture is to try and climb the ladder so that you might go from perhaps, like here, we may be, say, the soldiers or the plebeians, but maybe if we make enough money, we can become the equestrians. Hasn't changed at all. And now we even have a whole new world, and what they don't get is that their whole wisdom is the exact same as what they're fighting. These new social justice movements. The problem with them is not that they don't point out injustice. They do, and they rightly do, except then they want to be the person on the top of the pyramid. So we will use violence or whatever it takes to climb. Because that's how the world always works. How many of you, when you meet someone, says, what do you do? It's the number one thing you want to figure out where they are on the pyramid. How many of you, when you sit there and ask, do you say, so tell me, what's the worst sin in your life? What is the addiction that you have? How many really honestly do? We don't do that because the wisdom of the world comes in us and says we want to stroke ego. Remember that word? It's interesting. These Greeks were doing exactly what we were doing, but they were using the philosophical and wisdom of the world with the hopes that one day they would die and have enough wisdom to float off this earth. Remember, they hated the earth, so they could go off to the Isle of the Blessed with the gods. But the problem was, human wisdom is limited. Human wisdom contradicts itself. Human wisdom is constantly in debate. Even their great hero, Socrates, now that was their guy. Listen to what he said. All the wisdom of this world is but a tiny raft upon which we must set sail when we leave this earth. If only there was a firmer foundation upon which to sail, perhaps some divine word. He's longing for something, isn't he? He recognizes that there's limitations. The greatest mind of his era, the one they all depend on, says we need a divine word. Well, Paul says we got one. We got such a divine word that it's going to save the world. It's called the wisdom of God. But here's the point you have to get. It's the cross. The wisdom of God is the cross. Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? How can the cross be the wisdom of God? Unless God's not like the gods we think we should worship. You see, what the cross does is it comes into our world of selfish ambition and pride and idolatry, and it shatters it. It takes the pyramid and it crushes it. Richard Hayes says, the gospel is not an esoteric body of religious knowledge, not a slickly packaged philosophy, not a scheme for living a better life. Oh, we preachers need to hear that. Instead, it is an announcement about what God's apocalyptic, he means revealing intervention in the world for the sake of the world. The cross's very purpose is to come and shatter the systems of this age, not to prop up the systems of this age. In fact, the cross is the wisdom of God in the sense of it absolutely destroys, absolutely obliterates any pretense that we have. When you're hung on a cross, you do understand how absolutely stupid that is for a philosopher. When you consider what we're proclaiming as Christianity, it makes no sense that the God of heaven and earth would carry a cross, be spit upon, urinated on, have a crown of thorns put on his head, have nails driven through his hands and his legs, and be stood up for everyone to see naked in the most shameful way. Try and make a philosophy of that, folks. But that's what it's proclaimed. N.T. Wright said it best, this was and is the craziest message anyone could imagine. This wasn't a smart new philosophy. It was madness. It wasn't an appeal to high culture. It was news of an executed criminal from a despised race. The Christian good news is all about God dying on the wrong, on a rubbish heap on the wrong side of the empire. It's everything that shouldn't be is where the wisdom hits. And he ends by saying this, and I love this. It's all about God babbling nonsense to a room full of philosophers. So why in the world does the church try and make it into something else? Why do we come up in our churches and say, you know what? This is about your best life today. Or this will make you a little bit happier or more powerful. No, this is a God who came to us in the lowest so we, the lowest, might be set free. The worldly church that he is dealing with in Corinth still exists and it has to be spoken of. It's a church that still believes that we can entertain, that we can market Jesus like he's a commodity. The one who made us and died for us and rose again, we market like a commodity. Come down for a special here at Jimmy Bob's church. I'll even sell you holy water. We treat it culturally like it's this world. If you come in the church, then you'll climb the pyramid. What a lie. He's already shattered the pyramid. Let me tell you something right now. If the cross is true, you've already reached the pinnacle. And if the cross is true and you want true wisdom, you're going to have to look down. Below yourself, below your ego, to find God. We use the things of this age to promote the church and Christianity, and we get so upset when the world goes, we don't really think that's very smart. Well, then we'll try and make it smarter. So we inherit the morality of the world, the power of the world. We put on fancy displays. We have Christmas events where whole trees are singing. People are on cables flying in like angels because we got people from the world to show up and we're entertaining like it's am I going to date myself here? The Tonight Show. I was almost going to say Jack Benny and I thought, no, that's even worse. The cross doesn't work that way. The gospel is so much more free and we're not unique. It continues. This one I'm going to need to have to read here. This is Hilary of Poitiers in the 4th century. The utter folly of our time is lamentable that man should think to assist God with human help and to protect the church of Christ by worldly ambition. 4th century they were doing that. First century, we're doing that. 15th century, we're doing that. 20th century, we were doing that. And the 21st century, we still do it and we miss God. Because the church looks like the world. Folks, the first thing you have to admit is that's a part of who you are. Every one of us were raised on a trajectory, on a pinnacle, in a pyramid. Right from when we were little, I remember in grade 2, there were 3 reading groups. There was the, I love the way they termed them, the still working on it, which meant you were the dummies. The appropriate age group, which I was a part of, which means not so bright, but you can get past. And then there was the group, and they called themselves the star reading group. And they knew it. And you learn really young that the way to success is to climb. That the way to becoming more worldly is to buy in and do it and do it. But for Paul, he's saying, our way of being saved is to be more like the cross. It turns it on its head. It makes us look at the world differently. And I tell you what, as I was teaching this on Wednesday, somebody said, but this is impossible to change. We need something else. The power of God is what we need. We need the Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis said, you and I have need of the strongest spell that can be found to wake us from the evil enchantment of worldliness. It's so in us. It's so in us to want to look important, be important, climb the ladder. And that way leads to death. To those are perishing. We need the Holy Spirit to set us free, and set us free He will, because I tell you, when you stop playing the game, you get so free. You stop worrying about who you hang out with. You stop worrying about whether the neighbors notice that you've got too much crabgrass. I'm sure none of you have crabgrass, but I do. You stop worrying that when you're in your failure, God's away from you. You start to realize with the cross, it's in your failure, God is with you. This God is like no other God. It's when you were at your lowest, that's where He's hanging out, my friends, because He hung out on the cross. And when you feel forsaken, that's when you start to get it. It's a spectacular view to see the world through the cross. That young lady I ran into years ago, I don't know what happened to her. Like I said, I haven't talked to her for years. Maybe she's changed, maybe not, I don't know. But I laughed when I was thinking, as I was prepping for this, she's a lot closer to an old lady needing a crutch than she is to that good-looking, smart cynic. And she may or may not, I've seen some people who live the worldly way right to the death, holding their breath, hoping against hope that a miracle will come so they can go and spend all their money. But I pray for her that she will have a divine vision. But you'll have to change her view. Because when you're looking up, you'll never see the cross, which is below you. When you're looking for power, you'll never find weakness. And when you're going that direction, all you can see in front of you is temptation, competition, and cynicism. The truth is, folks, you want to pray for someone to be saved. You have someone you love. Then pray they have their open eyes to this spectacular view. pray for them that God, by his dynamite, will explode this world. And pray as a church, it'll explode out of us so that when people come, they won't be tempted to have the best. Karl Barth says this about how this view works. The glory of this mediator, Jesus Christ, however, is a glory which is concealed in its opposite, in invisibility, in repellent shame to this world anyways. This witness does not encounter man in a splendor which wins him easily and impresses him naturally. Raised from the dead by the power of God, he encounters him in the despicable and the forbidding form of the slain and crucified of Golgotha. It is as the one whose way leads and ends there that he is reconciler of the world to God, the justification and sanctification of man. It is with that person on Golgotha, with him as this one, that our life is hidden and secured in God. If we're seeking the wisdom of this age, we will be destroyed, no matter how religious we look. But if we embrace this God, who embraced absolutely emptiness for us, taking the form of a slave, if we embrace that way to salvation, we will witness to this world, and we will be light and salt, because this world doesn't think like this. All this world does is think, what can I get out of it? When you embrace this, this God doesn't just show up when your world's going great. He shows up wherever you are. And when you're failing, my friends, that's when he's right beside you. One day, we're all going to die. And we all have a choice to face it with our own strength and power, our own wisdom, or to face it through Jesus Christ. Whether that's a crutch or not, that way is the way of death to this world. But that's the only way that we're going to find eternal life. Let's embrace it. Let's run with it. And let's be a different people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so easy to forget that everything we owe is based on the fact that you, through your Son, let us hang you on a cross to shame you, and you showed us that glory comes through weakness, that you are the God of the forsaken and the God of the weak. Father, save us from this world that would tell us we have to climb to run a rat race that leads to a coffin. Set us free so that we can have the joy of this moment, the grace for each other. Help us to be a radically different people. This is a revolutionary message, Lord. Make it come alive, especially in young people who are only hearing the lie of this age. And make us a people that recognize when our world is spinning out of control, when we have shame and doubt Make us realize that that's where you are and that we can talk to you and rely on you there. In Jesus' name, amen.